We're holding at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the beginning of a new parak. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Tzoylin Esab Pesach. How do we roast the carbon Pesach? Mevi'in Shvut Shorimayim, we take a spit made out of the wood of a pomegranate tree, V'teich V'lesech Piv Ad Beis Nekuvosai. And you stick the spit from the mouth of the animal straight towards the back, till that the other side of the spit, the point of the spit, will come out through the hole where the animal relieves itself, the base array of the animal. So first of all, why do we use a spit of dafka, or remain dafka from a pomegranate tree? That the Gemara is going to discuss. But the reason why we take it from the mouth to the back is because the way it was roasted then, it wasn't standing horizontally, rather the spit was vertically, or at least on an angle vertically, and therefore in order for the meat not to fall off, you need that the wide side is down. If the narrow side would be down, it would fall off. So therefore, since we wanted the base hashrita, the mouth, to be down, so we stuck the spit in from the mouth toward the back. This way, the wide side of the spit will be in the front, and when we hang it down, head first downward, it won't fall off. The naisein es krav es bnei me'av l'seichai. The knees of the animal that were chopped off as they skinned the animal, and the intestines that were taken out to remove the emurim and also to clean the intestines, like we learned in the previous prakim. So now, since they have to be roasted together with it, so according to the first opinion, you take it and you put it inside the open cavity of the animal, and they're roasted there inside the animal. That's the ashita of Rabbi Yisagli. Rabbi Kiva says, no, kimin bishul huzeh. If they would do so, that would, in a sense, be cooking them, because they're sitting inside the animal and they're not directly getting roasted, rather they're cooking in the pot, so to say, of the animal. Ella, rather, toilin chutzalay, you hang them directly on the spit outside the animal. We'll learn soon that it's by the head of the animal, right on top of the head, next to the head, on the spit. That's where the karayim and the bnei me'ayim were hanging. Ein toilin as a pesach, we cannot roast a carbon pesach, loyal a shvud, not on a spit, loyal askelo, and not on like a griddle, a gridiron, a grill, some metal tray. And the spit also that we're talking about here means a metal spit. And the reason is, like we'll see in the Gemara, that once metal gets hot, so it conducts the heat, and then it's going to end up that the heat of the metal as well is going to assist in the roasting of the animal, and it won't be tzli'esh, totally roasted by fire, because some of it's going to be heated and roasted by the heat of the metal. Amrav Tzadik, Maisa Bur Gamliel, there's a story with Rav Gamliel, Shamra Tavi Avdu, that he told his servant, his Eved Tavi, say, it's Lei Lonu, Es HaPesach Al Askra, go roast for us a Karim Pesach on this gridiron, on this grill. So we'll see exactly in the Gemara what's he coming to say. If there's a machlokes over here, what the machlokes is. The Tanakhama seems to say that you cannot use the askelon, and Gamliel seems to say you could. Says the Gemara, V'nesi shomateches, why can't you use a metal spit? Says the Gemara, Aidi decham itzos decham kulo, since by metal, like we just explained, when part of it gets hot, it conducts the heat. And now the whole metal will get hot, even the part that's not opposite the fire. The kamatzi machus hashpud. So therefore, the part of the shpud that's inside the animal will conduct the heat. Will get the heat from this part that's sticking out, and it's going to end up cooking from the inside the animal. And if that's the case, rachman amar tzli'esh, we like to see machus daracher. The Torah says it has to be roasted dafka by fire and not from anything else. Over here, it's not only being roasted by fire, but rather from red hot metal as well. Frightening more than AC shall deckle. So that negates that you cannot use a wood, metal spit. But why dafka, even in wooden spits, we said dafka from a remine? Why can't you use other wood? Use a palm tree. Since there's grooves in the wood of a palm tree, mapik maya, so that causes it to expel water from the grooves, liquid, as it's heated up. And that liquid will go into the Karban Pesach, so it's like you're cooking it in liquid as opposed to roasting it. V'nesi shalteina, why don't we use the wood of a fig tree? Says the Gemara, I did the mechalchel, since it is hollow inside and it's filled with soft material, mabek maya, so that also causes that as it's going to be heated up, it's going to express the water out, and again, it's the same problem. Is going to come out that the Karban Pesach is like it is cooked. V'nesi shaloin, let's bring from an aloin tree, which some many say is oak, v'shal charuv, or a carob tree, v'shal shikma, or a sycamore tree. And for the Gemara, I did the isbe kitri, since there's a bunch of bumps, knots, on the wood, and those knots are going to have to be cut off in order to smooth out the spit that it could be used. So since there's open, fresh cuts, mapik maya, those cuts will bleed out water. And again, it will be a problem that it's mevushal as opposed to tzli. Fracting more of that's the case, shal rima nami, even if you're going to use one that's made out of a rima, made out of a pomegranate tree, you also have bumps there, and you'll have the same issue. And with the mara shiri kitri, the bumps of the rima tree are smooth enough that you could slip the animal on without having to cut them off, and therefore there's no problem of the water bleeding out. Iba isema. Or you could say, binagwa bar shata, we're talking about a log from a riman tree that's in its first year, the lesbe kitri, that doesn't yet have bumps. The way that a riman tree grows, the bumps and the knots that develop in the tree only develop as it matures. When it's a young tree, it doesn't yet have them, so therefore there's nothing there that needs to be cut off, and you won't have this issue of the water that's bleeding out. Va'ika bepiske, but you still have one more problem, you still have the part that you cut it off from the tree, so over there, that's an open cut, and over there, the water will leak out. Says the Mar, the Mabakle, the Bebiske, the Bar, you make sure that the cut part is outside of the animal, it's away from the animal, so even though the water bleeds out, it's going to bleed out and fall off, it's not going to go into the animal, and therefore, it's not going to make the animal considered to be cooked. The animal will be considered totally roasted. Says the Gemara, Masdisin the Liker Buda. Our Mishnah that doesn't allow a metal spit is not Liker Buda. The Tanya, because we went to Rabbi's, Rabbi Buda says, Kishem Shashput Shal Eitz. In an Israel, the same way that a wooden spit doesn't get burnt, meaning only the part that's exposed to the fire will get burnt. The part that's inside the animal doesn't get burnt. That means the body of the animal protects it from the fire, protects it from getting burnt. So if that's the case, kach shput shel matechet, so to a metal one, ein matiach. It doesn't get hot on the inside, so that which you're afraid of, that it's not going to be tzli eish, because it's going to be partially tzli because of the metal, it's not true. The inside of the spit, the part that's inside the animal, is not going to get hot enough to cook it. Amulai, so on that, the Chacham said back to Rebuta, there's no comparison. Zecham miktos echam kuloi, by metal, since it conducts heat, so when part of it gets hot, even the external part, is going to automatically make the entire thing hot. And therefore, even the part that's inside will be hot enough to cook the kevis, and that's why you'll have a problem that it's not tzliyesh, it's partially tzliyemachos davar acher. Whereas the wooden one, cham mitzosei ein cham kulei, it doesn't conduct the heat, and therefore when part of it gets hot, the rest of it, it's not going to get hot, and that's why only the outside burns, and the part that's inside the animal is not going to burn. Then the Mishnah said, a machoikis of what you do with the knees from the joint and down of the feet and the kishkas of the animal, the name of the animal, the intestines, what are you going to do with that? So Tanya, we have a braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Kareo Toich Toich. Rabbi Shmuel referred to the Karban Pesach as Toich Toich, meaning he held like the first sheet, like the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that you cook them inside. And therefore, he used to call it Teich Teich. Rashi explains, according to this Girsa, that a pot, when a pot cooks, it makes like a sound, as if it's saying quickly, Toch Toch. You hear the water bubbling and popping. So hu adin, these things are going to be inside the stomach of the animal, inside the abdominal cavity of the animal. So it's going to be making that type of noise, and that's why he called the Pesach Tayyotay, because he held like that shita, you cook it in the inside, in a way that the kishkas and the knees, the legs, will make that noise of tuch-tuch. Reb Tarfin, Kero Gedim Makulis. Reb Tarfin called the Karban Pesach a goat that it has a helmet on it. Meaning, he held like the second opinion, like Rabbi Kiva, that they put them on the spit of the animal directly, on the spit, near the head of the animal. So it looks as if they are like a hat or a helmet on top of the head of the animal. And therefore it was referred to as a gedimikulis. Tana Rabbanan. Ezeo gedimikulis de aser lecho b'lei lipsachem. We had earlier in Perek Mokum Shenagu that there's an iser to eat a gedimikulis, a roasted goat that looks like a gedimikulis, that looks like a Karban Pesach, on the night of Pesach, bizman hazeh, nowadays, and the reason is because people will think that it looks like a real Karban Pesach, and they'll come to confuse it with, think that he's coming to eat real Karban B'chutz. So when do you have such an issue? Kol shetzaloi kulo ke'echad, as when it was roasted totally in one shot. Because then it looks like the Karban Pesach, because that's how you roast the Karban Pesach, the entire thing in one shot. However, nechtach mimenu aver, if one limb was cut off and you roast that one limb separately, so now it doesn't look like a Karban Pesach because it's not being roasted together as one whole body. Or nishtach mimenu aver, one of the avarim, instead of being roasted, was boiled. So ein zeh gedim makulos. So then there's no issue of gedim makulos. It's not, everybody realizes it's not a Karban Pesach, and there's no problem of making that for Pesach night bizman hazeh. So frak de gemara hashta yesh loimar. Nechtach mimenu aver. If by nechtach mimenu aver, that one limb got cut off, and the whole thing was roasted just in two different parts, the avar gav the kamatz with it. So even though it was roasted bahadei together with it, and still amrit, nonetheless we say loy, it's not a problem. Nishtach miboy. So if one of the limbs was boiled, so why do we have to say that it's not a problem? Meaning, because we're assuming now, how is it part mostly roasted and one limb boiled? Because you cut off one limb, and when you roasted most of it, you boil the rest of it. So if that's the case, as soon as you cut it off, it's not a problem. So why do you have to tell me that now that it's boiled, it's not a problem? Of course it's not a problem. As soon as you cut it off, it's already not a problem. On Rav Sheshes, on that Rav Sheshes answered, Sheshilkoi b'mechuba. We're not talking about you cut it off and boiled it. What happened was, you put one limb of the animal into a pot and boiled it, and the rest of the animal you roasted. So even though it's one whole animal, it's all attached, since only most of it's being roasted, one limb is not being roasted, it's being boiled, people realize it's not a Karban Pesach, and there's no gzeira of gedim makulos that it looks like kachim b'chutz. Amar Rabba, says Rabba, hai no yosa sharia. When they take a bird, that used to be the minhag in those days, and they used to stuff it up with meat. So they had the meat itself, the bird itself, the flesh of the bird itself, and then there was the skin of the bird, and in between, they would stuff this other meat there. So now, if you're going to roast it, you have a problem, because both of these meats were not, as of yet, kashered. So they have dam in them, and when, as it's roasting, and the dam is going to come out, so maybe we should be afraid that the blood of the bird is going into the other meat, and the blood of the other meat is going into the bird, and making it not kosher. Says Rabbi, no. Hai mu yosa, this stuffed bird, sharia is mutter, and we have no issue of dam. Omri Abayi, so Abayi asked, why is that so? Isn't it absorbing the blood, taking in the blood that is being expelled by the other piece of meat? When it comes to roasting, the Rishonim explained, different than cooking and different than salting, where we have an issue that as you're cooking and it expels some stuff, it's taking in other stuff, and huadin by salting, it's like that. Therefore, if you salt in a keli that doesn't have holes in it, and it's sitting in the brine that's a mixture of the salt and the blood and water, so it will eventually absorb back that blood inside and become no good. When it comes to roasting, the fire that draws out the blood initially and makes it absorb it, kach polta. So the same fire that makes it absorb makes it expel it back out. And therefore, as it's roasting, even if some blood goes in, it's going to come right back out, and therefore it's going to be kashered, it's not going to have an issue of dam. Let's bring a raya to this sock of rabba, that when it comes to roasting, we say kebayla kachpota, and therefore there's no issue of the dam getting absorbed. Because our Mishnah says, "Nisenes krov as b'nei mei of l'seichei." That how do you roast, according to the Rabbi Yosef, according to the first opinion, how do you roast the Karban Pesach? You take the krayim and the b'nei, you put it inside, and then you roast it. Now, isn't my timer? Why is that okay? Isn't the blood getting expelled from the krayim and from the b'nei me'ayim and then going into the gedi or into the keres, into the sheep? La mishum darmina kibayla kachbota, must be because we say yes, anachanami is getting absorbed, but kibayla kachbota, the same fire that makes it get absorbed is also taking, going to eventually take it back out, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So we see kibayla kachbota. Amri says the Gemara, no raya from there. Shani hasa, maybe the Karban Pesach is different. Kiva the ikah beis hashchita the mechalcho, because there's the beis hashchita, the open cut by the neck of the animal, which is a large open area. So because of that, the blood is going to run out. Meaning, enechanami, maybe you don't say kibar l'kach polta, and if it would absorb, then it's not going to come back out from the fire. But an animal, since there's a large hole that's hanging down, which is the beis hashchita, so all the liquid is going to drain out through that large hole before it has a chance to get absorbed, and that's why we're not concerned with the dam. But by a bird, where the hole is not so large, and echinami, the blood is going to get absorbed, and maybe we won't say kibbutz kachpolte. Says the Gemara, let's bring a different raya that we say kibbutz kachpolte, because the Mishnah says in Chulin Halev, when a person wants to cook a heart, to kasha the heart and then cook it, so kairi, what he has to do is he has to rip it open because of all the blood that's found in the chambers of the heart. Besides that, the actual blood that's in the heart, because the heart is an organ just like any other organ in the body, so the flesh itself has blood. But there's more blood pooled in the chambers. So that has to be ripped open, and drain out that blood. Let's say, if he didn't do that before he cooked, he didn't rip it open before he cooked, so even after he cooked, he could still rip it open, drain that blood, and the heart will be umuter, then the heart will be mutter. Meaning, we're not concerned that the heart absorbed from the blood that was inside as it was cooked. My time, and what's the reason? Isn't it because of Rabba's halacha that we say kapala kach boltoi? Now, according to this, Rashi explains, which is really a Gemara in Chulin, that even though we say halev shabishloi, but we mean over here not bishul that it was cooked in a pot, because in a pot, like we said before, there is no kibbutz kach poltei. Rather, it means it was roasted. I uses a lashon of bishul. So the Gemara Chulin says that there's precedent to say that bishloi could sometimes mean roasted, because there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says vayivashal haPesach be'esh. They cooked the Karban Pesach on fire. Now we know the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. Nonetheless, the pasuk calls it bishul. So we see that in the broader term, the broader definition of the Lashon Bishul could mean any way that it's prepared in heat, even including roasting. So maybe that's what this Mishnah means as well. A lathe that was roasted, so since it was roasted, you could rip it open afterwards, drain out all the loose blood that's in the chamber, and the fact that the heart was berleia blood, that's not an issue, because we'll say kefer l'kach baltoi. Says the Gemara, no. Shani lathe shia. A lathe, the heart, is different, because the flesh of the heart is very smooth, and since it's very smooth, it doesn't absorb. Now, once we get to this pshat, says Rashi, that it has nothing to do with the fact that it's roasted. Even if it would be cooked, nonetheless, it's not really in the first place. It doesn't absorb the blood in the first place because it's too smooth, and therefore, that's why you could rip it up even after it's cooked, drain the loose blood that's in the chambers, and it would be mutter to eat the heart. Says the Gemara, V'Ravin Saba Tafliyahu Bar Goizlo L'Rav. Ravin Saba one time made this layer of dough around the Bar Goiz, around the pigeon, a bird, for Rav. And they used to do that similar to what we have nowadays, like Franks and Blanks or things like that. They have meat with a layer of dough surrounding it. So he did that for Rav when he roasted the bird. Now, the way they roasted in those days, before they kasher the meat, because when you're roasting, you don't have to properly kasher the meat with salting it first, like if you need to cook it, because the fire itself kashers the meat. V'amr lei, and he said to Rav, imali tafle, if it tastes good, if it's good, this tefillah, this layer around it, havli, so give me some of it as well, v'aichol, and I'll eat. So what do we see? That the layer of dough that's around is mutter to eat, and we're not afraid that as the blood is coming out of the bird, it gets absorbed into the dough, and it makes the dough aser. Why is that? Because kibbol lekach poltei. Yes, it's berlei. Yes, it absorbs the blood, but the same fire that makes it absorb the blood is going to pull out the blood, is going to make it expel the blood, and therefore, at the end of the day, the blood's not going to be there. Says the Gemara, no raya from there, hahiba smida, because that story was talking about very fine flour, the mefar, that it breaks apart, it doesn't have consistency that it's solid, it crumbles, and therefore there's no mass that's going to absorb, the blood is going to keep on, it's going to become small pieces that crumble apart, and the blood is going to drain away. Fracting a more of a Rava, there was a different story with Rava, Ikla of Eresh Galusa, that he one time went to the Eresh Galusa, the Tafu led by Avza, and they made this layer of dough around a goose. Omar and Rava said to them, Eloi de Chazite, had I not seen the zig, Kezuza Chivra, that the juice that's coming out, the gravy that's coming out, was clear, like a white glass, Leachim, and I wouldn't eat from it. Meaning to say, if it's clear, so obviously there's no blood there, so that's why it's mutter. Means, had the liquid come out not clear, that means there's a mixture of blood in there, then I wouldn't eat the dough, because then the dough is going to absorb from that blood that's coming out. The isak of the kibbol lekach poltei, but if you're going to say, like we said before, like Rabbi said, that you say kibbol lekach poltei, my area kizig, why does it have to be clear? I feel kilozig, even if it's not clear, not me, the dough should still be mutter, because even if it did absorb, we should say kibbol lekach poltei. Says the Gemara, Hasam bechivra, that was talking about very white flour, the shor, because it's hard. And if it would be balea, it wouldn't give out so fast. Therefore, it's also a regular flour that's not so hard, it could absorb, but when it absorbs, we'll say kibbol lekach poltei, the same way it absorbs, it will give out, and therefore it will be mutter. So the Gemara says, v'hochaza, and that's halacha l'maisa, this mida, when you have this very fine flour, bein asmik, bein le'asmik, so whether the juice, the gravy that's coming out is red, or whether it's not red, even if it's not clear, sharia, it's going to be mutter, because like we said before, it falls apart, it crumbles, and therefore it's not going to absorb anything. The chiyura, this very white flour that we talked about before, which is hard, and therefore once it absorbs, it's not going to give back out. Izig, kezuza, chivra, if it's clear like this, well, white glass, then shari, then it's mutter, ilo yasi, aser. Otherwise, it's aser. Because it's going to absorb and it's not going to go back out. The shar kamachim, other flour, where you could say, kibbol lekach poltei, then asmik aser, only if it's red, then it's a problem, lo yasmik, but if it's not red, shari, it's okay. Says the Gemara, Hamli also, going back to the stuffed bird that we spoke about before, so Manda also, the one who says it's also means the Shita who doesn't say kibbol lekach poltei, so afilu pumul letachas, so even if it's head down, the mouth is down, nonetheless it will still be a problem, because even though we said before that the Beis HaShchita is made of daiv, that's only the Beis, like we spoke out before, Tosis points out, that a Beis HaShchita of an animal, so over there, it's a wider hole, so we'll say it's going to flow out before it has a chance to get absorbed. But of a bird where the hole is not so wide, so even if it's face down and there is a hole there, that's not going to be enough, and it will be balea, and according to the Shita, once it's balea, it's aser. Mandashari, and on the opposite end, the one who says that it's mutter because he holds a kibbol lekach poltei, afilu pumul deleil. So even if its head, its mouth is up, meaning its head is up, and there's no hole for it to drain, we don't need the hole for it to drain because we say kibbol lekach poltei. The Hochasa says the Gemara halacha lemaisa is muyasa shari, we pass in that it's mutter, afilu pumul deleil, even if the mouth is upward. Now we have a machlokes. Umtza be umizrahi. Umtza is a piece of raw meat Bei, or the beitzim of a zachar, the testicles of a zachar, umizraki is the neck veins. In these three things, pligi ba Rav Acha Ravina, we have a machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Now the Gemara says, b'chol haterakula, normally in the rest of the kol haterakula, Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina l'kula. Whenever we have a machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina, and it's not said which one holds which, we assume that Rav Acha was the one who said l'chumra, and Ravina was the one who said l'kula. V'hilchusak Ravina l'kula, and we would pass an halacha l'maisa like Ravina l'kula. With the exception of these three, the Rav Acha, the kula of Ravina, the chumra, that over here it flipped. The Rav Acha is the one who's the mekel, and Ravina is the one who was the machmer. The ochusak Rav Acha, the kula. But again, the halach is going to be the kula, so we'll pass them over here in these three, like Rav Acha, the kula. What are these three cases? Hai umsa the asmik. If you have a piece of raw meat and there's a nice red spot there, so obviously that's some blood that pooled there. So chotchei, if you cut it open, umochei, and you salt it, so that's going to get rid of the blood. So afilu l'gedei v'shorei. So afterwards, even if you want to cook it in a pot, it's okay. Shachtei v'shvuda, if you put it on a spit and you roasted it on an open fire, shari, then it's going to be mutter, because meitiv daiv, the fire is going to make the blood drip out, come out, flow out, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Where's the machlekes? Achde agumre. What happens if you didn't cook it on an open fire, but you didn't cook it in a pot either? Rather, you put it on coals, like our barbecues, like our grills. So over there, pligi bar Rav Acha Ravina. There's a machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad asar. One said it's asar, v'chad shari, and the other one said it's mutter. And the Gemara explains, manda asar. The one who says it's asar because mitzvah samis. Because if you cook it in this manner, it's going to lock it in, it's going to shrivel up and hold the blood in, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Manda us, the shari, the one who says it's mutter, because mishav shalav, he holds that the heat of the coals is going to draw out the blood, it's going to run off, and therefore it's going to be mutter. V'hilchasa, and like we said before, we paskin in the kula, so therefore we paskin mishav shalav, that the coals are going to pull out the blood, and therefore it's going to be mutter. V'chein, bay, similarly by the bayim, even though they're covered with a membrane, and that membrane has blood in it, so chotchinu, if you cut it open, umochinu, and you salt it, so you give a place for the salt to drain the blood. So now, afilu gdera, after you finish that, even if you want to cook it in a pot, shari, it would be mutter. Let's say, talinu bishvud, if you hung it on a spit, even the way it is, as is, shari and it's mutter because it made it die. Like we said before, the open fire is going to pull out the blood and it's going to flow out, it's not going to get absorbed. Achdinu agumri, if you place it on coals, there, pligabar revacha ravina, it's going to be a machlokes revacha ravina, chados revachat shari, one's going to hold that it's also, the other one's going to hold that it's mutter. Manda also is because mitzvah samas it gets locked in. Manda shari, and the one who says it's mutter, because he holds mishashavi, it gets drawn and pulled out. The same thing is true with the neck veins. If you cut them open, and you salt them, so then afterwards you could cook them even in a pot and it would be mutter. If you hang them on a spit, with the base hashkita face down. Over here you need the base hashkita to be face down, because since the blood rushes towards the base hashkita at the time of the shkita, so there's a lot of blood that's gathered there, so you have to have it face down in order that it should drip out. So then shari will be mutter made of dove again, because the blood is going to flow away. Achdei agumre, if you cook it on coals, pligu bar Rav Acha Ravina. So then there's a machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad also v'chad shari. One said it's also, one said it's mutter. Manda also, the one who says it's also is mitzvah samas, because the coals will make it contract and get locked in. Uman the shari, and the one who says it's mutter, mishav shav, because he holds that the coals will actually draw out the blood and therefore it won't be inside, it will be removed. V'hilchasa, and the halacha is, like we said before, mishav shav, we pass in the kula that it's going to be drawn out and it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara, hai umsa, a piece of meat, the asmik, chalye, if the chalye is red, aser. So Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat in Rashi is that this is the juice itself that comes out of the meat. That even though we said that the meat that's roasted is okay, but the juice that comes out, if it's red, that means there's blood in it, and the gravy would be usr. Rashi's second pshat is, after they roasted the meat, they took it and they used to put it into vinegar. And the vinegar, because it was potent, it would pull out some blood. So if it turns red, that means there's blood in the vinegar, and therefore the vinegar would be aser. Tosis doesn't like either pshat of Rashi, and therefore he says similar to Rashi's second pshat, but not that it's roasted and then you put it in the vinegar, because once it's roasted, it, like we said before, it's totally kashered. So afterwards if it becomes red, it's not from blood, it's from other juices, and therefore it would be okay. Rather, says Tosis, what they used to do is sometimes they would put a raw piece of meat into vinegar, because then the potency of vinegar would pull out the blood and lock the rest in a way that that no blood should come out, and therefore the meat doesn't have to be kosher anymore. So when you do this process, if the vinegar becomes red, so that means blood went in and out, so then it becomes aser. However, if the vinegar stays clear, so then it's okay. So again, to this piece of meat, to ask me, if the chalya that comes out, which is either the gravy or the vinegar that comes out, is then aser, it's going to be aser. Layasmi chalya, but if it's not red, sure, it's going to be mutter. Ravina Omar, Ravina disagrees. Ravina says, afil layasmi, even in the case that it's not red, nami chalya, also the chalya would be aser, the vinegar would be aser. Why? Because it's impossible that there shouldn't be at least a few little streaks of blood in there, meaning maybe there's not enough there to turn the color, but something inevitably came out, and therefore, according to Ravina, it's going to be aser. Amale Marbara Amemar Ravashi. Marbara Amemar said to Ravashi, Abba, my father, Amemar, Migmale Gemue, used to swallow this vinegar, so obviously he held, like the opinion, that it's okay. Igadami, others say Ravashi Gufay, the Ravashi himself, Migmale Gemue, used to swallow it. So again, siding with this Shita that it's okay. Omele Marbar Amemar Ravashi, Marbar Amemar said to Ravashi, Abba, my father, Haichola Dechola Beichoda Zimna, once he used the vinegar one time to clean one piece of meat, Sule Tane Cholabei, he wouldn't use it a second time to clean out another piece of meat. Why? Because once it's used the first time, so the potency of the vinegar, the strength of the vinegar is already diminished, and it's not going to have the koyach to pull out the blood from the second piece. Frakta Gemara Maishna, why is this any different? Michalov Mitama, from vinegar that originally is not so strong. The Chaltinim Bey, that we know the halacha is, you could use it to pull out the blood of meat. So the Gemara says, Hasam Isa Lekiyu Depeir Be'enei. Over there, whatever strength, whatever potency it has, it's intact, meaning it might be a weaker one to begin with, it's not so strong to begin with, but whatever is there is intact, is fully there, and therefore it still has the koyach to pull out. Hacha, whereas over here, less of the kiyu de perabene, it's not intact anymore, because from what it originally had, it was weakened, it was diminished. So therefore, even though it was strong vinegar to begin with, but now that it was used and it's koyach was weakened, was diminished, so now it's no longer going to be able to properly pull the blood out of the meat, and therefore it cannot be used to be mechaled a second piece of meat once it was used already one time for the first piece of meat. Okay.